A week ago, last Friday, I helped celebrate my niece Kendra's wedding at Halsey Mennonite Church. And it was absolutely beautiful. Kendra stood up front and she was poised and she was radiant. And I had to think about her 12 years earlier when she first came to Trevor and Regina's house. She was scared, but she was brave. She was 9 years old. And her siblings were 8, 7, 5, and 16 months. And she'd spent the year before that feeding them because her mom had fallen in love with meth and completely forgot about her children. So there was this 9-year-old. She didn't talk much, but we got little bits out of her about that year sometimes. She'd look into the drawer with the knives and she said, "You know, I used to have one about this long, just like this one. I used to carry that when we'd go down to the convenience store to beg for Pop-Tarts and Kool-Aid." They lived in a rough part of Albany, East Side. It was the projects, and it was full of meth houses and crack houses. And I don't know, it was just really heartening to see where she was after knowing where she had been, and to see what real food and a schedule and a different kind of love could do. It wasn't easy, of course it wasn't. To get over the neglect, the abuse, and the suspicion of adults. But there she was on that Friday. She was absolutely beaming and eager to embrace middle life. And she stood with Chad up front and she said, "I do," loud enough so everybody could hear her, even without a mic. Well, after that, we moved to the reception. That was in the school gym. It was kind of an ugly gym. But we'd spent the day before decorating it. Chad had built a little platform right in the middle out of oak wood that he had somehow stained purple with vinegar and chorballs. I don't know how to do that, but it was beautiful. It was purple, and it was about 6 inches taller, and that was where the bridal table was. And it was all trimmed out with greenery and little tiny lights. And the stage was set up kind of like this with aspen trees and some crates, and that was where the dessert would be. And we brought in 1,500 street tacos, and we ate 1,400 of them with 10 gallons of fresh salsa and lots of fresh avocado chopped in there. It was excellent. And then there was tres leche cake. For those of you who don't know, you need to meet tres leche cake. It's 3 different soakings in cream. And I don't understand how to do it, but I know that when you heap some chopped strawberries next to that cake and you have a cup of warm coffee here and you're sipping and eating, it's absolutely lovely. It's easy to feel good and blessed when that happens. Well, then it was time for some talking. And there were, of course, the usual well wishes, and there were funny stories and memories. And I got up and I told a little story about facing death and scared or not, doing what needs to be done. And a little blessing of my own for Kendra. And then it was time for the benediction. And Chad got up, and he stood there by the microphone, and he was scared. He gripped the little podium with his right hand like this, and his knuckles were white. Now, he's not a weakling. He's a strong young man, and he can be in a herd of a couple hundred Holstein cows and, tell them exactly what for if they need that. I am told, I've never heard this, that when he's with his friends, with whom he's comfortable, and there are not more than about four, he can quote entire Patrick McManus stories to them with all the inflection and emphasis to make it just perfect. But he was standing there, there were 450 people around him, and he was scared. And he went, and Kendra was right beside him here, clasping his left hand. And I could see the fingers were kind of wiggling around, and it wanted to kind of, you know, work some words out of his brain. But she's strong, too, and she kept that hand right there, anchored firmly by his side. And he finally got out the thank you, parents, and thank you, cooks, and thanks for everything, and, you know, said a few words. And then he didn't know how to stop. He was, and it was, and finally he just said, we're done. And it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. Kendra right beside him, radiant and strong and brave. And I wished I could be as brave and trusting and strong as Kendra was right there. So our lesson this morning is 2 Kings, and it's a couple of the first recorded miracles of Elisha. We've got the widow's oil multiplied, we've got poisonous stew made whole, and we have the multiplication of the loaves. And there's a number of ways to go with that. One is, this is Elisha, he has a double portion of Elijah's blessing, and so these are kind of parallel miracles to those that Elijah performed. They're also harbingers of Jesus' miracles. Any Messiah worth his salt was going to do at least what Elijah and Elisha did. People almost had a checklist for Messiahs back then because there were plenty of pretenders. And so it's interesting to think about how Jesus improved on these miracles. And it wasn't lost on his crowd either. And I think, wouldn't it be great if we had miracles just like that now? You know, how about just oil? More and more oil coming out. You know, crude oil would be fine too. I mean, just anything. Let's get a lot of it, you know. That'd be a good miracle. But then we think, or you know, feeding hundreds of people with just a little bit. And we think, well, that's just stuff that major prophets do. Or the Messiah himself, maybe. That's not for us. Nah, it isn't. But, you know, when we think a little bit more closely, maybe it is for us. When you look closely at the widow's oil this morning, think about what Elisha did is he saved two children from slavery. That's the miracle there, that he loved those children and that widow woman enough to do what needed to be done to save them from being sold into slavery. And I don't know, it's you know, I can kind of imagine those wild gourds being a little bit like Pop-Tarts and Kool-Aid. And, you know, we can do stuff to change, you know, from a diet that's poisonous to something that's wholesome and build strong people. And the miracle of feeding a whole crowd of people with barley loaves. Maybe we are called to do that. Maybe we're called to do miracles now in our time. And maybe that's the way that we build the church. Just maybe. Think about that while we do our Sunday school study. Let's all stand for prayer. Thank you, God, that you give us heartening stories to read and to illustrate your care and your love for us. Help us in turn to further those heartening stories and to be channels of your love and care for others around us. And may the miracle of that love, that intentional love, build your church and bring your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.